My father never had super. No one did in those days.
There's one thing most of us don't often think about. Our super.
Yeah, I don't really know much about super, but all I know is money you get after you retire.
No two dreams are the same. Just as no two super funds are the same.
So take the time to think about it.
I want a super fund that performs. One that takes the most money home at the end of the day.
Eventually I'll be better off when I retire.
If you've been watching those cooking shows and you know how to make a cake, you can understand how super works.
But make sure you choose one with low fees and good long-term performance.
So take the time to think about it.
Yes, and so to making sense of super, our series this month committed to demystifying superannuation, plain speak, is what we are after here. Surely this is our right. Are you a freelancer or self-employed? Are you in a dither about how little super you've put aside, if any at all? Freelancing can mean freedom, but when you take that leap of faith, you become your own boss, your own marketer, your own accounts department, and of course you have to pay your own super. When the bills mount up and the pay packets come in fits and spurts, really super can take sort of a second-tier priority. Sound familiar to you? Pauline Vamos is the CEO of the Association of Super Funds of Australia, and she joins me now on Life Matters. Welcome, Pauline.
Thank you.
Super is a really low priority for many freelancers, and you can understand why. It's a bit of a boom and bust sometimes in terms of getting all those invoices paid and then all the bills paid and the mortgage and the rent.
It's very hard for freelancers. I have a daughter who's a digital artist and she's a freelancer. It's taken a lot of nagging to get her super sorted.
Yes, well, given that you are CEO of the Association of Super Funds of Australia,
it sort of helps, hasn't it?
It sort of helps. But there is no legal requirement for people who are self-employed to put into a super fund.
It's a bit of a murky area, to be honest, and it depends whether you're acting under a company. People have an ACN as opposed to an ABN, an Australian business number. Now,
so if you've got an ACN,
if you've got an ACN, then the responsibility, as you have your own company, is for the company as the employer to pay your super.
Right.
So whenever the company invoices a client, then when you are invoicing it as an employer, you should take into account the fact that you have that responsibility to unpay the 9%, which is, of course, going to increase slightly after 1 July this year. The difficulty for people with ABNs is they just give their fee. They don't even think about their 9% super. They put the GST on it. But what I've said to my daughter is what you need to do is into your hourly wage also incorporate your superannuation.
So that's
indeed,
one way of doing it.
That is absolutely one way of doing it. Because if I am, and let's take ASFA. So we are an organisation. We often use contractors. If a contractor does not have an ACN, they have an ABN, then there is an obligation on us to pay SG on top of that.
Superannuation. What's SG? No jargon here. Plain
superannuation
speak.
Guarantee. So this is about paying the compulsory superannuation that applies to any employee or, if you like, casual employees.
Right. So this is the superannuation guarantee. Now, that's a lot right. of people don't know this, that in fact employers of you as a contractor, if you're a freelancer, employers have some responsibilities here. What are their responsibilities?
Well, there were two sets of responsibility. One, as a freelancer, you must know your rights. You know, I've seen a lot of the invoices, you say 14-day terms, GST. Then you also, if you don't have an ACN, you also have a right to say, and you, this is the superannuation fund that you pay the 9% superannuation guarantee into it. So you as a freelancer should put it on your invoice exactly where the employer should be paying into the, you know, what superannuation fund, which is fairly easy. And most employers, that is not a difficult thing.
Right.
But
does it happen
street.
Across the board, though?
Of course not. Of course not. Right. Freelancers don't understand, particularly ones that are just running a self-employed business, and a lot of employers, because they figure, and I can understand this, I'm dealing with somebody who's a professional, they assume that they're going to sort out their own superannuation. It's an important conversation to have very early in the contracting arrangements.
Yes, absolutely. And a lot of freelance contractors will be, you know, they're keen for the work.
Absolutely.
They don't want to rock the boat.
You are between a rock and a hard place, because even getting a decent hourly rate on a lot of freelancers, particularly in the digital media area, is really, really difficult. And my daughter's faced with it every single day.
So this
means I can't charge that.
Oh, she can, right, of course.
She can't. So I can't charge that.
She needs the work.
Pay. So I say, well, in your hourly wage, you need to understand that you should be putting away for your superannuation, because, like many freelancers, their business is their talent. And so once they stop working, they've got really nothing to sell, unless you've got works of art or works of produce that you've produced. But most people, and most self-employed, when they retire, they're retiring and they've got nothing to sell anymore. And once your income stops, you've got to think, well, how am I going to get that income? And it's all about thinking, the income I earn in my working life, I have to charge as if it's going to have to last me my whole working life. And that's a very difficult concept.
And it's a very competitive marketplace.
Very.
Unless every freelancer is doing it, people, you know, will undercut you and go for another freelancer. I'll come back to that point, because I think it's important. But that means then that there might be a whole stack of people with a whole stack of unpaid super that employers haven't paid into a super fund for them. I think the ATO has a process for helping people chase that unpaid super.
They do, but because of the more clear arrangements between an employer and a contracted employee, where you are an employee, you go to the same workplace every day, you're under the guidance, if you like, and the authority of your employer, then it's much easier for you to go to the ATO and say, I am a legitimate employee, then I should be paid that. There is a lot of non-compliance in this area. This is an issue that we've raised for quite some time. And a great example is taxi drivers. A lot of taxi drivers are drivers. They are employed or contracted as an independent contractor with the owner of the taxis or the group of taxis. Mm. Most taxi drivers have absolutely no superannuation whatsoever. And you can only drive for so long. And it's these groups of people, and they're a significant minority of the workforce. That's what worries me. So at the moment, we've got about 754,000 people that are self-employed. That number will increase, because with an aging population, often the best way to have that sort of flexibility in your lifestyle, which you want as an older worker, is to become an independent contractor.
And it's often the way to get work.
Of course,
let's
it
face
is.
It.
That's right.
But I should say, Pauline Vamos is my guest this morning on Life Matters as part of our Sense About Super, Making Sense of Super series. She's CEO of the Association of Super Funds of Australia. Look, I get the impression that a lot of freelancers, and certainly a lot I know, are fairly resigned or reconciled to living on the pension when the time comes. They've given up on accruing super altogether. And isn't that sufficient? I mean, certainly that's an option.
The government pension there is an option. It's a safety net. The role of the government pension, though, is to alleviate poverty. It's not like pensions in other countries, which, can I say, they don't have enough money to pay them anymore. That's why you've got rioting in the streets in some countries. They are about providing a percentage of your pre-retirement, so your pre-retirement income. So you get more than just subsistence living. But the pension today, when you look at the average person's expectations, is about being able to put basic food on the table and not much else. And what all the research tells us is in those first 10 to 15 years of retirement, this is when you're active in your retirement. Now, a lot of us will keep on working part-time well into our 70s, 80s and 90s, particularly women, because they have to, but also they are healthier for longer.
And particularly freelancers.
Particularly freelancers.
We'll keep
particularly
on working.
If you've got a skill. So it's not as dire, and the way it works now, you can still keep on contributing to your superannuation even if you pass age 65. So that's excellent in terms of that. But when you're not working anymore and when you want an active lifestyle in retirement and when you look at the amount of money you will get in the pension and the fact that we have an ageing population, we're going to have in the next 15 years for every person retired, instead of five people working, we're going to have just over two people working. So what any government of the day will have to do is say, look, we have to always have a safety net. That's an important part of any society. But let's trim it. So
We can't anticipate that's what they're going to do, and that's certainly the argument of the super sector.
The argument of government as well, because whilst the pension might stay the same in terms of alleviating poverty, it's access to free healthcare and aged care, and those policies are changing.
Let's come back to freelancers and bring the focus onto them. We've had a question from Gabriella, which is a typical question, I think, on our Facebook page. She writes, "Hi, I've been a freelancer for many years. I do contribute to SUFA. My question is, should I be contributing more often during the year, or is it better to do it at the end of the financial year and keep the money in my account earning interest?" So that's one example. Another example might be people might say, well, I want to invest in houses instead, for example, or I want to invest in my mortgage. That's my priority and that will put me in good stead.
All great questions. The first question, it's worth thinking about your mortgage. So whenever we take out a mortgage, it's a big debt, as we know, over a long time. The advice you're always given is pay off as much as you can, as often as you can. So rather than pay monthly, you pay fortnightly.
Mm. And what to that minimize means, your interest.
To minimize your interest. The same happens with super. The more you pay early, the more regularly you pay, the better advantage you will get of compound interest, because compound interest builds on it. Mm. So mortgage, it's like a reverse of a mortgage. So that's the way to look at it. So I say to people, pay it like a direct debit, like you do your mortgage. You have one amount going to your mortgage, one amount going to your super. And the truth of the matter is you need both. You need both a mortgage, because we know that the majority of retirees that retire with their own home have a longer, happier life, because they don't have to think about rent, they don't have to think about moving. Both are important and both go hand in hand.
More people are likely to get super sorted than a mortgage these days, let's face it.
Oh, tell
I guess that would depend on whether your super fund is performing better than your long-term deposit account or something like that.
Any asset, so your home, the bank deposits, what you invest in super, they will perform differently in different times. So sometimes, some days, some weeks, some months, some years, it's better to put the money in the bank. Other times it's much better to put it in the share market or other investments or direct property. The trick is diversity. You cannot predict where it's going to go. Interest rates today are very, very low, both for mortgage but in returns as well. And that is hitting a lot of people in retirement that rely on that interest. Mm. Dividends from Australian companies are very high. And so that means that often those people who are now in shares are getting a nice income. Those that have got their money in the bank relying on interest from the bank are not doing so well. You've got to diversify.
It's
You've
hard
got to
for
have
people. This is overwhelming. It's hard enough to manage a bank account for some people and keep the mortgage payments up. So
exactly.
I guess there's the option of going and getting some advice, and that can be complicated because you've got to find independent advice. Yes. And then it's also picking a fund. Is there a focus on supporting freelancers in the industry?
Funds,
like are there funds? I mean, we can't name products here.
Yeah,
are some better tailored?
There are certainly options for freelancers, and it all depends on the industry that you are in, and it's worth doing some research around that. So the way a lot of funds work now, it's very easy to pay electronically. You get access to information easily. Remember, superannuation funds, particularly in their balanced portfolios, invest in a broad range of assets, so you get that steady return. Superannuation is often a tax structure. So if you desperately want to invest in direct property, you can do that, whether it's through your own fund or through an institution. So there's very little you can't invest in superannuation, if anything, but it's all about what is going to give me the best return and give me an income in retirement.
So a few pointers today. We've heard that you should charge for your work, that fat and take in super into account. You should direct debit is a good way to start, even if your income's coming in fits and spurts, maybe even small amounts is important, little bit by little bit. And you may need some advice as well. Look, thank you very much for this.
We have a consumer website, the Super Guru website. Great place to start.
Okay, all right. Thanks for that. And Pauline Vamos, she is CEO of the Association of Super Funds of Australia. Thanks so much for helping us work through
Pleasure.
Some of these issues. Our sense about super, or making sense of super series for this week, and we'll be back next week on this one. You're with Life Matters. Natasha Mitchell with you this morning. Feel like a health retreat? Well, we're heading to one with the wonderful Ali Varenti next.